Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, are the two dynamic duos, Mr. Chad Riley,
who?
Spencer Williams.
Ha!
Yes!
Nicely done, Spencer.
Thanks. That was very well timed. You guys are actually good. You guys must be professional.
Professional something.
Yeah.
We got a great show in store for you as we're going to be talking about the recent release of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's unique film, Rampage. So stick around as we jump into that. But before we do, Chad, why don't you give him a little info?
I sure will. We might not be growing taller than a house just yet, but we're certainly working on it. Maybe. In the meantime, the Filmlosophers podcast is still presented by Mingle Media TV and recorded live each week at VGB Studios. Do you have a big appetite for movie news? You can stay satisfied by subscribing to the Filmlosophers podcast on any or all of your favorite streaming platforms. New episodes debut each Wednesday on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Player FM, Libsyn, and Stitcher. Spencer, where else can they find us?
Not much of a people person. Believe me, we get it. But you can take some time to be a little chatty with us. Catch up on movie news and other updates on social media with us. Be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Finally, don't think you have to limit yourself to just this episode. You can access our entire library of great content on our website at filmlosophers.com.
Filmlosophers.com.
That's right. Wow, that was very savage. What is it good for?
Absolutely everything. Say it again, son.
We had to go there. Like I said, we got a great show in store, and we're going to probably have some fun just being ridiculous with this one. If you haven't seen it yet or you haven't had a chance to, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson film, Rampage, has dropped. And oddly enough, it's doing really well. It's actually, I think it beat out Black Panther this past weekend.
Don't believe the hype, people. It's just because the Black Panther movie has been out and killing it for like 2 months. And
really,
this is The Rock. I mean, really, people are going to see The Rock.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We
did.
That was the whole purpose.
We were there.
That was the whole purpose as to why we were there. We actually got a chance to go see the movie, and we sat through it, and we got some thoughts about that. So, before we dive into it, Chad, why don't you give us that awesome official synopsis?
Oh, this is awesome and official. Primatologist Davis Okoye, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, a man who keeps people at a distance, shares an unshakable bond with George, the extraordinarily intelligent, incredibly rare albino silverback gorilla. That is so many adjectives in front of that word gorilla. who has been in his care since he rescued the young orphan from poachers. He being Okoye The Rock, rescuing Orphan George, the albino silverback gorilla, from poachers. But a rogue genetic experiment gone awry mutates this gentle ape into a raging creature of enormous size.
Raging creature.
To make matters worse, it's soon discovered there are other similarly altered animals as these newly created alpha predators tear across North America, destroying everything in their path. Okoye teams with discredited geneticist Kate Caldwell to secure an antidote, fighting his way through an ever-changing battlefield, not only to halt a global catastrophe, but also to save the fearsome creature that was once his friend.
That's right.
That was abrupt.
I was going to say...
Well, there goes the music, folks. I was going to say that synopsis made this movie sound far more interesting than it actually was.
I was going to say the synopsis itself...
I mean, that makes it sound legit.
I would actually see it again if this... You know, music was playing in the background of the entire thing.
Well, naturally.
Directed by Brad Peyton, the film stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Naomi Harris, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I feel like that's how he would say it.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
There you go.
Malin Ackerman, Jake Lacey, and Joe Manganiello. Manganiello.
I think. I don't know. I don't know the guy.
He was in there for about a good 5 seconds. Rampage, based loosely off the...
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a spoiler-filled review. Rampage, based loosely off of the 1986 video game series of the same name, marks the second film this year to be adapted from a video game.
What was the first, Eddie?
That would be Tomb Raider.
And did we do an episode on that?
That we did.
I do believe we did.
So go to our website and check it out. But not yet, because you're listening to this one. This will be Brad Peyton and Dwayne Johnson's third film together. Previously, they worked together in San Andreas, which was in 2015, and Journey to the Mysterious Island back in 2012. That is literally all the only good things we have to say about this film.
And the show is over. Good job, everybody. We know how to read.
As we said, this is going to be a spoiler-filled review. So, spoilers. Spoilers and spoilers. We got sound effects, too, so we're going to have some fun. But like I said, this was another one of those films that actually debuted, and it was adapted from a video game. And if you were anybody who went to an arcade, or you owned like a PS3, or you even a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or a Commodore 64, as Spencer had one.
Right? Yeah, I had a Commodore 64.
No, what did you have?
No, I had a Commodore 64.
He had a Commodore 64, and we were talking about this game, and it didn't sound like he knew it was on the 64.
No, I didn't. I didn't realize it was a game till after I left the.
You didn't realize the Commodore 64 was a game?
Oh my gosh! I just want to get off. This is too hard.
No, this is better than our movie discussion. Trust me.
No, so
not necessarily, but I mean, this movie was kind of garbage. Sorry,
yeah, spoilers.
Spoiler! Hit that alarm. There it is.
So yeah, you know, we went in with an open mind. Obviously, everybody had been promoting this film as like the new, you know, video game adaptation that was going to be really good. The Rock is like saying this is going to be his big breakout film.
He hasn't broken out already?
He hasn't. He's still in his cage.
Oh, whatever.
So he went out, like they did a screening of the film at the El Capitan Theater in LA, or Arclight. It might have been the Arclight. And his biggest thing that he was saying was that this film was going to, I don't know, it was going to be one of his masterpieces or something like that. Something ridiculous. Something that only a wrestler would say.
That's awkward.
That's weird. Like, he did a better job as Maui.
As Maui?
Agreed. And Moana.
There you go. I was going to say, you got to give the
featuring
movie.
Featuring one of Eddie's favorite songs. Favorite movie songs.
That's right. Say you're welcome. That's about it.
Yeah. I was like, if you behave yourself during this podcast, we'll get him to sing it by the end. But we didn't even need to wait because he's ready to be over with it.
You know what I
already?
You know what I have to say about that?
No.
So,
okay, Michael Scott.
Soundboard is going to be the death of everyone at this table.
And Spencer will be the one behind the weapon.
No.
But as we said, we went to go see it. We got a chance to screen it along with the rest of the press out here. And, you know, there were a lot of thoughts. There was a lot of questions. There was a lot of confused faces, mostly on the three of us. And, this is going to be
really was the question of why was this movie made?
Or where'd they get the storyline to adapt it from? I mean, if you're any bit familiar of the video game, Spencer, you know. I mean...
No, I don't.
I'm pretty sure he just said he didn't even know it was adapted until we walked out of the theater.
No, I'm saying you know that it wasn't, like, there's no storyline to the original game.
Yeah, because it was for the Commodore 64. You didn't really put, like, a whole bunch of story on your beat-em-ups.
No, true, because you ultimately just play George, you actually play a gorilla named George, who, by the way, if you're familiar with the video game, you actually play as a mutated person who turns into the creatures.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would have been a much more interesting movie.
Like, that's The twist. Rock turning into George the Gorilla?
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. Already, we're making a better film than what
we saw. Well, so many people thought that's what happened for a while until the trailers actually came out. They said, oh, yeah, The Rock is playing the gorilla. And then The Rock was like, Dwayne, Mr. Johnson was like, no, I'm actually not playing the gorilla.
No, he's a rock. He's made of granite stone. So
agreed.
Yeah.
No, man, they should have done that. That would have been a much better movie.
Seriously.
I mean, I don't know. George is the one element of this movie that I didn't have a problem with. George was on point.
Can you imagine if George
George gorilla. The gorilla.
The gorilla had the charisma of The Rock.
He kind of did, though. He had a little. He had some sass. He had that, some attitude. Just
given that lifted
speak.
Brow look. That
smoldering
looking at people.
That would have been the end.
We just made this movie way better.
We really did. We should get paid for this.
We should get paid
we
for this.
We should send this to somebody. Brad Payton works out of like a small little office in some, you know, abandoned office building. I don't think he's doing anything big.
Abandoned. Except that he's in there trying to, you know, make another movie probably.
Well, we really did experience something at this theater. I don't know if it was a good movie.
Okay, so the beginning of the movie was okay. I thought the beginning, they start off in the, well, not the beginning. I actually should retract my statement. The beginning is the space station, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I had a problem with that.
Which was like flashbacks of life, like the movie Life from a year ago, but less good.
Which, by the way, we have an episode on that. If you haven't seen it, check out our episode list.
That's right. Just go back to last
year. FilmLossiverse.com.
You sounded like a disclaimer. FilmLossiverse.com. Yeah, so there's a sequence in the beginning that kind of just sets up the, I guess, the bad guy's agenda in a way. It's lame and dissatisfying. And then you get to the San Diego, like, it's not the zoo. It's more like the safari park.
Yeah.
It's a preserve for these animals. And that's where you meet The Rock and some other characters, some of the animals. And I thought that part was interesting. It was a good kind of starting point
True.
For the movie.
Before we jump into the review, let's kind of go around the table and talk about expectations before going into the film, though. I'll go ahead and jump on this one and start it off. Like, honestly, I really had high hopes for this film. I was really hoping this film was going to be good. Because I say that not with any prior knowledge or even considering the fact that it's adapted from a video game that has no storyline or plot, but because of the fact that we had just seen Jumanji. And we were like, okay, this was funny. Like we, myself and Chad, and I don't know about Spence, if you had seen it prior to...
Yeah, I've seen Jumanji.
So before going into it, we were like, it looks ridiculous. It kind of looks corny. It doesn't look funny. And then we had a friend who talked about it, and she's like, oh, you got to see it. You got to watch it. It's great. It's funny. It's hilarious. And we were like, you're lying. And, you know, and she hit us. And then so we started watching it. And
what kind of?
Beat us into submission and made us watch it.
Exactly.
What kind of horror stories did you guys go through where I joined this podcast?
Too many. No. So we watched it, and we were like, this is actually pretty funny. It had a lot of good jokes. It had a lot of humor that was consistent through and through. It didn't like have a one singular joke that didn't make any sense. I mean, it probably did, but we were too busy laughing.
It probably did, but it had a good group dynamic.
Yeah. So off of that hype, I guess you could say, coming into this one, I was like, okay, well, that was kind of a sleeper, you know, favorite, because with Jumanji, I actually liked it. I didn't think I was going to, but I actually enjoyed it. This one, I'm not too sure, but you got a gorilla fighting side by side with The Rock, and, you know, how can you go wrong? Yeah.
Well, that was the better part of the movie.
Because it was in the trailer. It's the only expectations I had set. So that was pretty much where my mindset was. Spence, what about you?
I had none. I knew nothing about this movie besides the trailer. I was just like,
and apparently you didn't even know that it was based on a video game.
I didn't! And I kind of debate that fact.
I feel like I have to take your nerd
and
card away from you.
I'm still not sure that it actually was.
That game came out before I was born. How am I supposed to know about all that?
Because
kind of
it
stuff?
Was a series. It was a franchise. It went from 1986 to the 92 to the 95 to the 98 to the...
So I was like -1 to 4 in that time frame.
And? Did you have a PS3? Don't lie to me. Do not lie to me.
It is getting real in this place.
Did you ever go to the arcades, like at the movie theaters or at any place, at a Chuck E. Cheese? Did you ever go to an arcade game at a Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, I played.
Don't lie to me, Spencer.
I said yes.
Oh, boy. Gosh. There it is.
So you've had to have at least seen the cabinet.
No, I've never seen it.
What?
Like, they have the cabinet in the movie. I've never seen that cabinet.
I think
life.
You're lying.
I have to say, I'm older than both of you. I did go to the arcade. We weren't allowed in my family. We didn't have video game systems in the house. So the arcade was the only place that I saw video games. I never saw this game either. I've never seen the arcade game.
I only have one thing to say to both of you.
Oh my God. I'm pitiful.
You didn't say that.
How dare you?
There it is. There's the gold. How dare you? I'm with Spencer on this. I am with Spencer on this, actually, though. I went in with, like, zero expectations. I was thinking, it's a movie. It's got The Rock. He's enjoyable. Other than that, I don't really care. I don't. It doesn't matter to me if it's good or bad. And so I didn't expect it to be good or bad.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, if The Rock truly disappointed in it, then I would walk out disappointed. Because he's fun to watch. Like, he, well, mostly because of not even what happens on screen, but just because of what you know from, like, social media and things like that. I'm a fan of his, but yeah, so I like to go to, like, support, I guess you would say, support him in his endeavors, because he seems to be a really likable person in real life. But yeah, I didn't have any real expectations for this movie either.
I think out of the entire filmography that I've seen The Rock in, I think there's only been one time where there was an actual film that I did not like him in. And I don't know if you guys had ever seen it, but it's called Snitch, where he plays the father of a...
I haven't seen it. I know what you're talking about, but I have not watched it.
He plays the father of a kid who gets, like, scammed into receiving all these drugs and gets in trouble with the police or the... What's that narcotics team that works with the government that cracks down on drugs and stuff like that?
The DEA?
Yeah.
Drug Enforcement Agency?
Yeah, them. So they crack down on
it. Tell him what he's won.
Di-di-di-ding.
Nothing. Oh, not even a sound effect.
Game over, man.
Wow. Over. That's brutal. It's the last time I answer a question for you.
But the movie
Chad,
was...
Chad, what did you think? See, I knew you'd have that. I knew it. Okay, fine.
But the
playtime is over, Eddie.
The movie was horrible because The Rock plays like this scared father. And it's interesting because knowing how The Rock's build is and what he's done in, like, in wrestling and in other movies, there's a scene in there where, like, somebody pulls a gun on him, and I've never seen The Rock scared. And a scared Rock is not a good Rock to look at. He looked like legitimately like he was about to pee himself. And I'm like, that's...
Like he couldn't act scared?
No.
Like he wasn't successful in the performance of scared?
No. And it just made the entire film laughable, even though it's like a pretty dire situation. And based on a true story, apparently, I laughed at somebody's family.
Wow.
I feel...
That's pretty bad.
Geez. Yeah. But anyway...
Okay. I can see him looking at his soundboard thinking, do I have anything to play for this?
Nope. Sorry.
Okay. Nope. So now can we talk about this movie?
Let's jump right in, shall we? Go ahead, Chad. I'll let you start it out.
Well, I already did. So Space Station, bad. Not an interesting
Actually,
scene.
I want to talk about that Space okay. Station because I had a few problems. So the main bad guys who own a corporation, they're trying to do CRISPR gene editing on the Space Station.
CRISPR is such a really... I'm sorry. Before we get into that...
Okay.
CRISPR is just a really ridiculous name. It's like the bottom drawer of a fridge.
But that's what it actually is.
That's what it actually is.
That's that's a real thing.
Is it a real thing?
Yes, it is a real thing.
That is the stupidest. They tried to
legitimize what happens with these animals later by tying it to a real thing.
Because, that, I mean, it's the bottom drawer of your fridge.
It is.
Why would you name it that? Like it's
the bottom drawer of your fridge.
Is that where you keep all your genetic mutations in the CRISPR drawer?
Well, I mean, really.
I mean, it didn't make any sense. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. That just ruined the beginning part of my yeah.
You thought that they made it up?
We have to take that away from.
Oh, we do. I am snatching that away in like 10 seconds or less. So you did you were not familiar with CRISPR.
I was not familiar with the CRISPR drawer. So I'm
well. That's a very Eddie way to answer that question. But no, that is legit. That is not the way it's presented in this movie, but
no,
CRISPR
no,
is a real thing.
CRISPR.
It's
so
a real
stupid
thing.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so now that we've gotten past the is CRISPR real debate, my problem was the reason they were up there doing that is because it's illegal in the U.S. for genetic editing, so they went into space. However, in space, the
no one
law
can hear you
of
scream.
Your country applies to you while you're up there.
Correct.
So they literally did nothing, wasted millions of dollars to hoist all their stuff up to a space station.
Correct.
so that they have a legal getaway, but no.
That wasn't real.
Which actually perfectly fits these two CEOs of this company, because they're just dum-dums.
Yeah, they're complete cartoon characters, but played by human beings.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
These guys were so unbelievable, I wouldn't even trust them to run a McDonald's. Like, apparently these two ran like this multi-billion dollar corporation. I'm like, you guys are like one short of a Three Stooge act, practically.
It really reminded me of like something like the Flintstones adaptation, the live action, where you had like, they started as cartoon characters and then they were in the live action movie, but they still had a lot of the mannerisms and the pacing and the tone of the cartoon characters. But that's because it was the Flintstones that was a beloved cartoon for decades before they turned it into a live action movie. This one, it's like they wrote the bad guys to be cartoon characters in a live action movie. They completely did not match anything else about the film. I mean, aside from the plot itself, which also came from them. So they were like distractingly bad.
Yeah, it was super odd.
Yeah, they could have just put like CGI.
And it wasn't the
people.
Performer's fault necessarily.
No,
it was terribly structured. It was terribly written. And then it was terribly performed.
Yeah, I don't even know why they had these two in here. You could have gotten rid of them from the entire movie, and it would have still been the same for the most part.
Agreed.
Except slightly better now.
I don't know about that. But yeah, go ahead. You were talking about the space station.
They're up in space. They're experimenting with animals. There's a rat that mutates. We don't get to see it do so. We see the aftermath where the rat has basically eaten all of the crew except for one person. And then, yeah, she's trying to escape. Things go wrong. And three canisters full of whatever this stuff is, this CRISPR genetic aerosol bomb stuff, three of them fall to the earth in different places in America, as it turns out.
In America. None of them land in any other country, apparently.
And that's where you get your three creatures for this pseudo-creature feature film.
Was I the only one who thought those canisters looked alien in the trailer and then they totally changed it up to make it a little bit more like billion-dollar industry, bad juju kind of stuff?
Well, they still looked like alien artifacts when they landed on the ground to me.
True, yeah.
See, I got a very, like, I don't know, like the ooze canisters from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's what I was thinking of, except they were aerosol.
Yeah, I don't think CRISPR's an aerosol.
Oh, yeah?
That was also...
Is CRISPR now in bottle form? I feel like you guys are pulling my leg on this CRISPR stuff.
You have a computer in front of you.
I don't want to touch it.
Fact check.
No.
Get your hands off the soundboard and fact check something.
That's what she said.
This is the worst episode ever.
There are no words. Thank you, Michael Scott.
Oh, no.
Oddly enough, in playing Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, one of the bad guys was played by Jake Lacy,
yes,
who showed up in the final season of The Office.
Was it only the final season?
There are two seasons, maybe.
I think he was
like the replacement Jim, the young Jim.
Yeah.
There was a young Dwight and a young Jim. He was the young Jim.
And you know what?
And he was much better in that than
100 times
here.
Better. Like this, he just seemed confused. Like, you want me to stand here and eat a Pop-Tart and look mean? Okay, sure. Oh, you want me to run and, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. We'll get into that later. But as Chad was talking about, you know, as the film intros, you are also introduced to Davis Okoye, who is played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and his little expedition. That scene that you see in the trailer where the gorilla George is chasing after one of the guys and scares him, and you know, it's a whole joke. I mean, that the entire funniest part of that scene was done in the trailer. It wasn't funny after that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that would have been nice to have been surprised with, but nope.
Hey, there are other things they did with George that were surprising.
This is true.
He does have attitude. He's got some sass. He's the most interesting and likable character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
By
best
a mile.
Care.
What?
It's the best character.
Best character.
Yeah.
CGI monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That says a
well,
lot
that
about your
says something about it. And there you have it, folks. Yeah, so they're in the enclosure. There's all this stuff. We were very delighted, actually, by one of the other performers in the movie. We didn't realize.
We didn't know that we actually had a personal friend who was actually in the film. So if you listen to our Tomb Raider episode, you'll notice that we had a fourth person on the show, and it was VGB, Video Game Bang host, David Webb.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch this film, David Webb actually makes an appearance. The actor who, I don't even know what his name was. He was in the film. He was all for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's barely in the movie. But
he made an impact in our hearts. He did.
We have a personal connection. I mean, so kudos to David for his star turn.
True.
In 0.7 minutes of this movie.
But he actually sounds like David. He looks like David.
To
even
a point.
His mannerisms. I mean, if David didn't have his beard, that
beard,
he's growing
yeah, the
out
beard,
right now.
Yeah, he didn't have the beard there.
No,
but you're right. He looked like David. He sounded like David. His mannerisms were similar. They may have been separated at birth. I don't know.
It's true. It's like one of those doppelganger kind of things.
Are you talking about that guy in the glasses who worked at the zoo with
yes.
the rock?
Yeah. Are you just connecting? We said this after the movies.
I missed that.
You missed a lot.
Okay. To his credit, Spencer had, like the two of us had, quite a bit of frozen yogurt beforehand. The brain freeze was probably still in effect. So we'll give him a pass.
I don't know about that. You can give him a pass. I...
Seriously, we need to rip that thing away. No, dear audience members, this indicates to you the quality of the movie. Literally, all we want to do is push buttons on the soundboard and talk about other things that have nothing to do with the movie. That's
yeah,
got to say
game
something.
Over, man. Game over.
Exactly.
Especially since I was for a second going to say, oh, you should talk about that frozen yogurt story.
That might have been the highlight of our
That was
experience.
Actually the best part of the movie going experience. We'll get to that later.
So, you're introduced to The Rock. You're introduced to older David
you
Webb.
You see the bond that he has with George. They obviously are well connected. They sign language with each other. George, like, gives him the middle finger and has some sassy attitude stuff going on. It's really fun. Like, George is fun to get to know for a couple of minutes. And then overnight, the canisters crash to Earth. One of them crashes into the gorilla enclosure. George encounters it, it blasts him in the face, and he starts his transformation.
And things escalate quickly. It goes from a lovable dynamic of George and The Rock and everything else to apparently George destroys a bear, and like it's really graphic.
Which I was upset that you didn't get to see that.
That
you only
destroys
saw
a
aftermath.
Bear?
Well, I mean, it would have been interesting to see a silverback gorilla versus a grizzly bear. How would they have done that? But no, you don't get to see it. You see the aftermath.
Yeah, I think PETA might have had issues with that one. Yes, Spencer, PETA. I know, other than your CRISPR, I know another organization.
You know what would have been a better movie?
Something other than CRISPR?
If they would have made George the main character.
I agree. Absolutely.
What is this, Baby's Day Out or something? You're focusing on a gorilla now?
Okay, let's not bring up Baby's Day Out. No one ever needs to remember that was a movie.
Hold on. All right, we rewinded.
Oh,
that's
my
gone.
God.
It's just not going to end.
That would have been an interesting thought, though, if the gorilla was the main... I mean, technically, he kind of was. I mean, he was my focus. I stopped listening to everything else everybody else was saying and watching George. So, like, something happened, apparently, throughout the course of that film that got us back to George in Chicago, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, they end up in Chicago.
So, then you're also introduced to Naomi Harris, who plays this...
It makes no sense.
Really
doesn't in this movie.
Like, why is...
I mean, she was fine as a performer, but her character makes no sense in this movie.
Yeah, because apparently she's late to a job. She's been late to this job. That's how you're introduced to her. Like, she's literally on the phone. She's overslept, so she's lazy. You know that much. And, you know, she doesn't really care much about her job because she's willing to be, like, 3 hours late to it.
Again.
I think for the third time. And then when you meet her, she, like, literally blows off her boss just to drive to San Diego. I don't even know if she was already in San Diego.
She was in L.A., I think.
Ah, that makes sense. So she drives to San Diego and meets up with The Rock
because she knows what's going on because she previously worked for the dastardly duo
right.
that has caused all of this CRISPR aerosol nonsense.
Boris and Natasha over here.
Not even.
It says something when the actual Boris and Natasha were more put together than
thank
these
you,
two.
Yes.
I don't know. I just...
So George is not the only animal that has contact with one of these aerosol satellite droppings.
Toxic Windex.
And so there's also a wolf somewhere in the Plains States. And then there's an alligator in the Everglades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I honestly... So the wolf
and
was
you've all
cool.
seen it in the trailers. So even though this is a spoiler... rich review, you've seen them already if you've watched TV, so
which,
there you go.
Real quick on that spoiler thing, like, there's really not much that happens in this movie that you honestly probably couldn't gather from the trailer.
Correct.
And if you know just the kind of way most of these movies end up, it's usually on like a happy note, and there's usually something good that happens out of this, and everybody's happy, slapping each other on the back and doing motions with fingers, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's an interesting claim that you've made there.
That's a spicy meatball.
So anyway,
the look on Chad's face,
priceless. This is gonna strangle you. I'm
about to disconnect this thing right here and take it and throw it across the room.
I think even though you have a lot of dynamic characters or dynamic performers, I don't want to say characters because the characters weren't dynamic, it's the selection of cast that there is in the film.
Let's be honest, the reason to watch this film is if you like creature feature stuff with big animals tearing down buildings, because the CGI work on the animals is easily the most interesting part of this film, I thought. Mm-hmm. From obviously George, who you have a bit of an emotional connection with if you have any heart at all, in the theater, but also the wolf that becomes like part wolf, part flying squirrel.
Yeah.
There's some cool like aerodynamic movement that happens with that creature. And then the alligator porcupine thing, because that's the other thing. This aerosol CRISPR stuff starts, I mean, kind of Jurassic Park style, like mm-hmm. when they're like, oh, we spliced frog DNA because frog DNA, blah, blah, you know, and they're like, oh, well, some frogs can change from boy to girl or back again or whatever, like whatever that had. So it's kind of that effect of trying to like way oversimplify actual science. And so I don't remember.
Which
I
there really was
George. Did George ever manifest any physical attributes of a different animal? There were some.
Yeah, he was able to heal fast.
Mm-hmm. That was about it.
That was about it.
Because like, they started this whole thing with Caldwell, who is Naomi Harris's character, where she's like, oh, I'm the one that developed this because I was trying to save my brother or sister or somebody. I was trying to save my brother who was dying of cancer, and then they were using my research to do all this other stuff that's not in any way related to cancer. So like as George is starting to change, she has like little flashcards almost on her phone where she's looked up Wikipedia pages or something, and she's like, oh, there's this beetle and this spider and like whatever. And she's naming attributes of like where it comes from. And then they totally stop doing that. They don't do that after the first two things that she has to say. In the meantime, you have these other two wild creatures like out in the wild that are physically manifesting other characteristics of other animals because, I mean, actually,
they're cooler.
I was talking too fast. The wolf is the one that's got the porcupine spines mm-hmm. and the flying squirrel flaps of skin.
Right.
The alligator has like elephant tusks and some kind of plating on its back.
Yeah. Well, and it has that ball at the end of its tail.
All right.
Like a dinosaur, like really.
Yeah.
Did not use that enough.
He only used it once. And, you know, it's sad to say, but like, so... With all the performers in this, like literally the standout performances obviously are the CGI creatures, which were completely made on a computer. But we're missing one more character, which is Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character, which I thought was funny just for the sake of him being ridiculous. I don't know. Jeffrey Dean Morgan seems like the kind of guy that is the same guy in every role he steps into. So. Hey, guys, how are you doing? Whatever. I don't know. I don't do a good job.
I mean, I don't know. I see, this is why we were talking before we started this episode. I think that this thing started as a cartoon movie. Like, everything about this movie, except for the fact that they said, oh, we can get The Rock, let's make it live action. Everything else about the way this movie flows, functions, and even looks in some respects says computer animated cartoon movie. Like, even Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character, he would be a perfect, like, pseudo-antagonistic ally in a cartoon movie for kids. Perfect. That's exactly the tone that he strikes. But it's not that. It's like this live-action thing that's supposed to sort of be taken seriously, except for when the bad guys are on screen, because you're supposed to laugh at them. They're basically clowns.
Yeah.
Especially the boy, the brother, because it's a brother-sister duo, right?
Oh,
Boris,
yeah.
And Natasha again here. He is literally, his role is to be a clown. But that would work a lot better as a cartoon movie than it does as a live action film.
Whenever these two were on screen, I had no idea what was going on, because somehow I missed they were even brother and sister. So I could understand that the guy was like in charge of the company somehow. But for some reason, he had this bossy lady who was like chief of security or something.
And they have this like huge bat cave of like, you know, computer screens on the back wall, and the FBI's coming in. They're literally watching everything that's happening with the animals. It's like, yeah, you guys are busted. You guys might want to turn that off, maybe put some cartoons on, you know, because the FBI's coming right in.
Which is also weird. Who in the world has like security cameras of everything happening in like the CEO's office? Don't you have better things to do than to be watching your employees?
When you're in a cartoon movie.
And how cartoonish was it that they each had like own separate desks off, like right when you walk in, there's a desk here onto the left side, desk on the right side. It was like the entire office was made to look like a cartoon office.
Because this was a cartoon.
Ah, you got to persuade me more, Chad. I don't know. That's getting there. I'm starting to believe you, but I.
Okay, we'll keep going.
I'm holding tight to my beliefs.
I don't know. There's some parts of this movie that were very cartoonish.
Some? They literally survived a plane crash.
Hey, that's
like,
what I was about to talk about.
Really? Thank you for bringing that up, because that made less than zero sense. That was like the sensibleness of that was subterranean.
That entire sequence,
way below sea level,
was redonkulous.
Wait, which time are we talking about? The plane or the helicopter?
Both!
Everything. All of
all
it.
All of them.
The plane, the helicopter, the building, the...
The helicopter with no rudder that's
the
like...
other helicopter on the street already. And the... yeah, all of it. The other building. There's a lot of cartoon happening here.
This movie really did a lot to us.
Fantastic.
I feel bad. I don't know. I don't even want to push a button now that I'm thinking about this movie.
Yeah, I saw you looking at it. Stay away from it.
But, yeah, going back to the main breakout stars of this film, like, it's really cool. I don't know if they did research and, like, the only work they... I felt the only work they put into the movie...
I don't know if they, like, did research. No. They well, I can tell you they did not.
I was going to say, the only amount of work they seemed to put a lot of... you know, from the budget into this film was in like really getting down like a lot of the mannerisms of different animals and the way like the flight patterns of whatever animal that wolf was like derived from, like its genetic evolution. Because like you were saying, there's a scene where he gets thrown into the air and you think he's going to hit a wall or a building. And then he like corrects himself.
Yeah, glides
turns
around
in midair, and it's super cool.
Yeah, best sequence with that animal.
And then
and it wasn't even like in the like punching part of the fight. It was like the, oh, you threw me away, but I'm coming back at you.
Was it ridiculous?
Like at, a boomerang.
At how large that alligator was. Like that alligator was the size of like three city blocks. And the
that
wolf.
That alligator was doing the most.
Yeah. It was.
I didn't even like it at all.
It was like the OP of the entire game. It was like, nope, nope.
It was a literal tank. It was just walking in from the river.
Yeah, pretty much. And they were... And then they were shooting stuff at it, and nothing happens. And then The Rock starts shooting stuff at it, and it starts getting his attention. I'm like, what happened earlier? Like, they were shooting missiles and bullets and, like, 50 cal big whatever military machine yep. guns, and it did nothing to these things. The Rock, with one, like, I don't know what it was, something that he could hold in his hands, which his arms are pretty big. Either way, shoots it at the one of these things, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, somebody hit me, and let me turn around.
Yeah, because the alligator definitely developed some kind of a vendetta against The Rock out of, like, an instant.
Well, maybe one of its genetic traits was figuring out who the main characters were.
I like that. That's a good argument. That's something that would happen in a cartoon movie.
You know what, Spence?
No!
So, But I mean, the thing with this film, going back to what we were saying earlier, there's no true or there's no source material to pull it from. You have a video game, but it's kind of like grasping at straws when you decide to adapt this particular video game into a movie, because I don't think there's ever been a storyline. Like, I'm trying to think, while we've been talking, I've been trying to think, has there ever been a Rampage video game, whether in a cabinet, in an arcade, or on an actual gaming system,
console,
where there was a legitimate storyline? Because apparently there's a CRISPR in this. I swear, I think you guys are like pulling my legs.
You
like,
have a laptop!
I don't want to look! Truth is irrelevant.
This movie has done weird things to both of you.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't.
I can't.
True. So here's another thing. Since we're just kind of freewheeling about on the complaint
really
wheel. One of the things that happens in this movie is obviously you've got different animals who are impacted. They're growing big and they're angry. They're killing everything. And you've got to get them into the same place to then reassert some form of control over them via this antidote that they've allegedly developed. And What is your means of control? Oh, a giant radio tower on top of what used to be the Sears Tower. I honestly don't remember what it's called anymore, but in Chicago.
Chicago.
The company has reconfigured one of the radio transmitters up there to emit this very specific low frequency that the CRISPR sequence of the aerosol, even though it's expressing different traits in different animals, the one thing that you can count on that it's going to immediately alter in every animal that it changes is the desire to hunt down this low-level frequency and smash it. So that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It was like the dumb on top of the stupid on top of the garbage of thinking, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so they turn on this transmitter, and of course, then all the three animals are coming straight for Chicago however they can, which is part of the reason why the airplane is destroyed and crashes. Because George was in like a healing trance, sort of, and then that frequency goes off. He immediately wakes up, freaks out, breaks out of his cage in the plane, starts killing people.
George
makes it crash, etc., because he has to get to this thing because it's been genetically encoded into them, because even though everything else they express could be different and unique per each animal, but that thing is going to be in all of them.
Talk about your lazy writing.
Dumb.
Did you find anything, Spence? I saw you looking. Was there ever a storyline in these video games?
Actually, a few of them did have storylines.
You lie!
Okay, if you're not going to believe me on anything, I'm just going to stop looking things up.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Find a new sound effect.
How's this?
Get him a body
bag. Well, it kind of works for several sequences in this movie. There are a lot of people that die.
Really,
you don't
was.
Know them. I mean, you don't. They're not people that are familiar to you.
And
but.
That's interesting. Like, life has no value in this film.
No.
Like, buildings topple on top of hundreds and hundreds of people. Like, these creatures eat military people, personnel by the platoons. Like, it's insane how many people have died in Chicago. And we don't even know if that plane that crashed killed anybody.
This in was the field?
A bad, yeah, well, in the field.
I mean, everybody was already dead in that plane except for The Rock, Harris, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
We got top billing. We make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was the actual storyline? Is there an actual storyline? Can you give me something? Give me hope. Give me anything. Come on.
Well, nothing that resembles this. There's one where the monsters travel through time.
I smell a sequel.
No, God, no, please. No.
No!
There we go. I really hope that isn't like the future of this franchise. I do not want to see
this doesn't become a franchise. This movie was terrible.
It has The Rock attached to it.
Like, all you have left is a giant
gorilla.
You're going to have people like digging through company files. And
then you still have the rat that what's his name is carrying around. Remember? So as everything is happening and the entire film as well as the buildings fall apart, before we go to that, the stupidest sequence in the entire film.
Which one?
The one with the helicopter and no rudder. It's like riding an avalanche. No, it's not. You are attached to a falling building. Your helicopter has no rudder. You're literally stuck to it. It doesn't. It's like the thinking of if you're in a falling elevator, you jump before you hit the ground and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Nope. I saw that Mythbusters.
Duh. Winning.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, to pick any one thing as the worst is a bit of a stretch, though. There was a lot in this movie
that
was
the
worst.
It's like picking the cleanest corn in a pile of turds. Really.
Wow. Life lessons from Eddie. And how quickly that came to mind.
Yeah.
I think that's a saying. I think that's a saying in his head.
Oh, gosh.
I love
cleanest
the confused
corn. I will never not have heard that.
That's great. All right.
But, I mean, this film is just chock full of ridiculousness. I mean, obviously, from what it's based off of, you can only expect a campy film. From the director. The director is a guy who created San Andreas, which we saw San Andreas, and that was a B-movie style disaster flick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, which is a complete just eyesore. The entire film was made to be done in 3D, this is how dumb that movie is.
Well, but again, that one in particular was also very much a live-action cartoon.
Oh, 100%. I don't know who I was telling. This is how dumb that movie is. There is actually a sequence where The Rock has the kid in the film throw berries at his chest to show him how to pop the berries off of his chest as he pops his chest.
You told us that on the way out of the theater.
I'll
never unlive that moment either.
That's actually a sequence in the film where as the cherries pop off of The Rock's chest, they fly into the camera, making it seem like they pop out at you.
That sounds upsetting.
It's extremely upsetting. I'm not going to lie. I was hoping that I could try to do that, but it didn't work. And I just hit myself with a cherry. So, but this film is just one giant pile of campy ridiculousness where, like Chad said, it could have very well been a animated film. I will concede. I will say that this could have been.
I really think it started that way. I could be wrong. It felt like a cartoon movie script that they said, oh, we hired The Rock, so let's go ahead and make it with real people.
Here's the thing, though. Like, this is one of those types of films where, so we've had our share of stupid movies on this show.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen everything from the ridiculous Fast and the Furious films to the XXX franchise.
Oy.
And by XXX, we don't mean the bad ones. We mean with Vin Diesel, which are still bad.
They're still bad.
And even we went to go see that, Hardcore Henry, which was interesting, but it's pretty much...
That was interesting format-wise.
But in the mindset where it's like, people go to see those types of films because they want to see explosions. They want to see crazy car chases. They want to see destruction and mayhem. They want to see a bald-headed protagonist. You know, things like that.
True.
And you look at those films and you're like, okay, I personally don't see the allure. I mean, I used to see the allure in the original, Fast and the Furious franchise when it was actually about racing. Now they're all espionage agents or whatever.
Right. Taking remote control of every car in New York City.
Yes.
Whatever.
That. But there are people who find, their guilty pleasures in that. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, I like watching these because we actually know a couple who find, they enjoy watching movies like that.
Yeah, they like the whole, I go there, I don't expect to have to think, I don't have to think. I just watch things get blown up and destroyed, and I like it. And then it's done.
And I think this is one of those films that is going to fall into that category.
100%, yeah.
Because I don't, as much as I'd hate to see this actually happen, I feel like this is going to become a franchise because of the fact that you have somebody like a multi-million dollar performer, such as The Rock, who makes it out alive in the film. Spoiler alert. Spoiler. Yeah. So he does make it at the end of the film. I like the disgust look on Chad's face as he's wearing his weed shirt.
Stop it. Stop. Why is there always a comment? It's not a weed shirt. Anyway.
But I think this is one of those types of films where, because of who's attached to it and the money behind it and the money they could potentially make out of it, I think it's going to actually turn into one of these types of films. One of these types of franchises. What do you think, Spence?
I don't want it to.
Well, I know you don't want it. Who actually wants it to? Well, I mean, obviously we just said the guilty pleasure people and people who don't want to think, but...
Yeah, but like, the problem with this movie is it's a bit on the forgettable side. I woke up earlier this morning remembering we had to record this, and I was like...
Oh, that's comforting. You just remember this morning.
What happened in this movie? I don't... Like, I had to sit there and think about it.
Yeah, you have to sit there and think, okay, now wait, what was in this movie, and what was just, like, my memory of a different movie with The Rock?
I spent 5 minutes trying to remember why they were in space. And then once I found out, I was like, why didn't they, like, try something cheaper, like, international
waters,
seas, and try, like, maritime law?
Because that would be
that.
Smart.
And that
they
is
weren't
not,
going for smart.
And that is not what this film is about, Spencer.
It's not about maritime law.
No! But as we wrap this conversation up, any other last-minute thoughts, issues, anything else that we could really use to deface this film? Because I think we did a really good job.
No.
Spencer?
It's one of those that's really easy to leave behind you.
Yeah.
Like, just walk away from it.
I'm looking at you, Spencer.
No, I'm trying to think of...
Spencer is, like, staring into the abyss. He's trying to pull something out of it, but he's quickly realizing there's nothing to salvage.
Okay, the only thing was at the very end of the movie where it looks like George is dying. I did like that bit where he was just doing a fake out on The Rock and he was perfectly fine.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
Again, George was by far the best part of this movie.
Character.
I would have to agree on that. And yeah, I mean, this film, like I said, it's for a very niche group. Like, if you're one of those types of people who like those guilty pleasure type films, if you're the one who really wants to just watch destruction and mayhem and see the bald-headed protagonist try to save the world with his gorilla buddy... That sounds like the last Fast and the Furious movie. then, I mean...
It also sounds like a cartoon movie.
So let's go ahead and go around the table and give it its rating and whatnot. So let's start with Chad.
I will fail this movie with a smile on my face and give it 1 star for George. Or 1 monocle, excuse me. I even forgot what I was grading it on. That's
wow.
How bad it was.
Spencer.
George, you get a monocle.
There you go. Thank you, Oprah.
Yeah.
You get a monocle. You get a monocle. We all get monocles.
No, they don't all get monocles. Only
bees,
George.
Bees.
Stop it. Spencer, rescue us, please. Now he's speaking
you
in meme.
You get bees and you get bees.
Okay.
It only gets worse from here, Spencer. Save us.
Okay. So, yeah, this movie really fails. For just like, really even fails. Like an impression. Like, there's movies I hate that at least pass because I can remember what happened in the movie. But
wow.
But yeah, I'll give this one, I'll give it a 1.5.
Okay.
Eddie?
I'm going...
What was your opinion of the film?
I thought that what it set out to be, which was a ridiculous B-style guilty pleasure, just hogwash of a film... It set out to do that. It achieved it. So in the sake of what it set out to do, I'm going to say it passed.
Whoa.
Because of only the reason that Brad... What are you looking
Dang
for?
Dang it, he changed the screen.
What are you looking for? What?
No!
No? No.
Sorry.
But I passed it because I know Brad Peyton is the type of director who creates these types of movies. He sets his heart on creating, like, campy B-movies. And, I mean, if you're talking about whether or not this is a success or failure, if that's what he attempts to do and this is what he goes out and tries to do, I got to give it to him. I mean, the man did it. It's a ridiculous campy movie that I'm not really looking on revisiting. So, in my mind, I would say it fails, but for what it does, it passes.
Wait, how could it fail but pass?
Because it fails in my eyes, but I'm not thinking about my personal thought. I'm thinking about
what that's what we're asking you for.
You know what? Whatever.
Who's on this podcast? Is it you or the director?
Both
Ooh,
of us.
That's good. Can I just say something also?
Oi.
The estimated budget for this movie was $120 million.
What?
That's just spent
that
on the
is
rock.
Not, that is not a I have a passion for campy movies. That's not what that kind of a number is.
I mean,
that's
hey.
A legit like blockbuster movie budget number. And probably a quarter of it or better was for The Rock.
Oh,
yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you know that he got a good portion of that.
$120 million, and you're going to pass this garbage all right, fest?
All right.
Thank you.
I'm just saying,
Sheesh.
Who's here? Is it you or the director?
All right, it.
You shall not pass!
Appropriate.
There we go.
I actually like that.
It's not going to pass. It fails for me, and I'm going to give it, so I'm going to give it 1.5, but I'm going to give it 0.5 for each of the creatures. I really like the design. Obviously, yeah. I like George. It was really cool. I mean, if we would have seen the rat or whatever it was a little bit more, I probably would have given it another 0.5 because the idea of it was cool. But, I mean, hey. Which, actually, in the first game with the Commodore 64, the rat is actually a playable character.
Oh.
So, a little bit of knowledge there. We do know something.
Dropping the knowledge.
But
that's
about
what we're here for.
That's what we tried to do with this one. But that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Film Philosophers. Remember, you can catch all our recaps or any other previous episodes on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmphilosophers or on our Twitter page at twitter.com/philosophy101. Head over to our website as well to catch up on all the other episodes that we have in listed format and check out the
eight
other
of which we listed during this episode.
That's true. We did a good job self-referencing.
Shameless self-promotion.
So, yeah, this was a fun jump on the bandwagon and just knock it down till it's
I
dead.
Do always like chatting with you fellas about things that we don't like.
Oh yeah, because
they're way too nice fun. With the like the middle of the ground ones that are like, you know, they don't quite make it, but you can see that they really tried.
Well, here's
the
thing.
We're too kind with those, but stuff like this that it's like, yeah, I didn't like it either. And Eddie's like, well, I initially kind of almost liked it, but then I didn't like it. Then that makes it
I
fun.
I process things.
Peer pressure.
No. You know what? You know what?
No!
So,
there it is.
Before we go, let us let you know of a couple upcoming weekend releases. You got I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer. That looks so, yeah. Super Troopers 2 and Traffic, done by the director Dean Johnston, who is actually originally from Sacramento. So, ooh, get a chance, check him out. But as I said, that wraps up another awesome episode. And you know what? We got some fun stuff ahead. If you check out our extra credit episode where we take this conversation, we kind of up the ante and talk about a couple of different projects that we feel like could have been better instead of this one that we saw. So if you're interested in hearing that, head over to our extra credit episode. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spence?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
I was like, he had gas and tried to say, yeah. Yeah.
Way to put him on the spot, Mr. Cleanest Corn in the Pile of Turds.
Heck yeah. Tell you what, you're not going to forget that saying anytime soon.
Oh, I'm going to forget it.
I'm going to forget tonight. I'm going to sleep and just be
gone. I'll make sure to text it to you guys before you go to bed.
I'm going
to
block you.
I'm going to delete the contact.
Never. So, from all of us here at the Film Philosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Chad.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.